You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Kenyon Drake, a miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is, and it's caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike's it, Walker! Knocked down!
Oh, unbelievable! Mike Thomas, touchdown Jags!
And we're off and running right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking NFL, talking training camps, a lot to get to today. George, Carson Wentz misses Friday's practice with a foot injury. Travis Kelce out of practice today with a hip injury. Both of those players look to next week to return to their respective teams, but I want to start with your team, a team that you're high on, and it's not the Dallas Cowboys. It goes in the AFC with the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield coming out and saying his relationship, the quarterback to wide receiver relationship between Mayfield and Odell Beckham has never been better, and they are setting their sights on a dynamic 2021 season in Cleveland.
I always love when I hear this. What's he going to say? Oh, no, it sucks. We can't get along, man. I hate this guy. Well, of course he's going to say it's the best it's ever been. So it's the equivalent of saying I'm in the best shape of my career. I'm going to have 8,000 catches today for about 10 million yards. I mean, what else are they going to say, right? They're always going to say everything's great, everything's hunky-dory. I mean, listen, as far as Beckham's concerned, he looks healthy. I don't think he'll ever be back to the player he used to be at one point, but he's still a quality wide receiver. Landry, Higgins there. You got good tight ends, Hooper, Chubb, Hunt. I mean, it's there for Cleveland. It's there. This is a football team. In my mind, as with most NFL teams, it is all on Baker Mayfield, and I think most of that is just, you know, maturity. I think he has matured.
He's coming to the position.
12 to 16 months. Yeah, I think he's matured. This is a dangerous team. They don't have any obvious weaknesses.
I totally agree in terms of that assessment. Now, they're 16-1 shot to win the trophy this year. They're, you know, a possible dark horse. They're there. Went toe-to-toe with Kansas City last year in the divisional game. If Chad Henne didn't make that fourth down conversion, it could have been, you know, a different type of situation for the Cleveland Browns. I will say this about Odell Beckham, though. I think he's poised for a breakout season. And I know you don't feel he can get back to those dynamic numbers that he amassed in terms of the New York Giants, but I think he'll be there. I think he's definitely going to be a 1,000-yard receiver this year. Easy. I think he's in the area of 1,200 to 1,300 yards. You look at the progression last year, Jarvis Landry, he became the go-to wide receiver and main target for Mayfield. The fact that Cleveland got to the playoffs without him, were able to knock off Pittsburgh without him. This team is headed in the right direction. And when you just think about one of the most polarizing players in the NFL to have that type of success without him in the lineup, I think it stings a little bit.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there. Hurt your pride, right? Because you weren't there. Teams had no problem succeeding without you. right? So I think it does hurt your pride. I do. So I think he'll have something to prove somewhat. That being said, I'm going to say this is about every player, by the way. I don't care about 1,000 yards. That's 58 yards a game. All right, that's nothing. All right, it's a 17-game season. It's less than what it used to be. In my mind, for me to even think of you as being a great player, you're talking 12, 1250. That's what you have to hit. And he hasn't done that, by the way, since 2016. All right, even with
but a lot of that is quarterback play, though, George. I mean, Mayfield, you know, we can find excuses to blame everybody.
We can find excuses here. Oh, it's
injury. He had Eli at the end of his career.
Oh, he didn't have this on the other side. He was the only guy they could throw to. I mean, I'm not. I don't care about excuses. It's been 6 years. All right, 6 years. So you're gonna tell me he's gonna get a monster season? I ain't buying that. Plus, this is not a team that's gonna throw the ball up and down the field. They're not. This is a well-balanced team. They're gonna run the ball. They're gonna play some defense. They don't need to throw the ball up and down the field. I think 1,200 yards is legit. But to go anything further, he's gonna have 1,400 yards, 1,500 yards. No, I don't see that. He's not the same player he used to be. And when you do the damage he's done to his body, I don't care if you're a professional athlete and everything you've gotten as far as trainer and rehab, you're not the same player you used to be. He doesn't have that kind of explosion. I think a good year's coming, but he won't be the Odell we used to see.
As we welcome in our Sports Map radio audience, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, talking about the Cleveland Browns, talking about Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. Can they have a breakout season in 2021 to possibly hoist the title this coming season and take it away from Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs as being the best team in the AFC? Yeah, I understand what you're saying about 1,000 yards, right? It's irrelevant. We talked about the running backs last year yesterday in terms of 1,000 yards is basically if you can't do that, you shouldn't be in the league, right? You could get a journeyman that could just trudge for 50, 60 yards a game. But the point is that just from an athletical standpoint, he is one of the most athletic, pure, raw wide receivers that we've ever seen, and he's still young. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. is not an old wide receiver. He's dealt with some injuries, but in terms of his athleticism, I put him up with some of the top receivers in the league, George.
But he was that. That's what he was. He's done nothing now since, the last 4 years, 302 yards, 1,052, 1,035, 319, and 1,000 is nothing. He's done nothing now in 5, 6 years. Need to see it before I'm going to bet on it.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think the running game will actually help his numbers in 2021. The ability to have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is a huge asset to that offense. When we come back, we'll be talking about player props. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation about the Cleveland Browns and Odell Beckham Jr., George, they posted on DraftKings his total receiving yards for 2021, 925.5 at -115. You taking over or under? You said he could basically do that with his eyes closed, that getting 1,000 yards should be no big deal. You taking the over on Odell in 2021?
Well, you're talking 55 yards a game. That's all that comes out to in a 17-game season. 55. If he can't do that, then what can I tell you? Like I said, 1,000 yards should be a big deal for any player who considers themselves any kind of star. I don't think 1,000 yards has been a big deal since the 14-game seasons went away back in the 70s. You know, we like our round numbers. 1,000 is a nice round number. So, yes, I think he can get it. Would I go the over? Sure. Would it be a large amount? No. I do wonder if he is somewhat injury-prone here. So I do like the over here. I mean, when I say I'm not big on Odell, I mean for a monster season. 1,300, 1,400. I don't think he's ever going to be that player again. So I think he'd get over 1,000 yards, or in this case, 950. Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely he could get to 1,000. I think he could get to 1,300. I really do. With him in that lineup, teams aren't going to take him seriously, possibly in the early part of the year, right? It's Jarvis Landry as your main target, right? You had Donovan Peoples-Jones that came on at the end of the year. You had Kareem Hunt that catches the football, Nick Chubb. So there are going to be some other players to take away mismatches or double teams from Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know if they're just going to flat out double team scheme him on each and every play, and he's going to have some opportunities for some chunk plays, right? Plays over the top to utilize his speed, and that's why I think he can get there, especially when you run the football as effectively as Cleveland does and has that dominant offensive line. You always have to worry about the play action pass, and that's where teams can be burned deep by his speed over the top.
And I'll give you that. I think I don't think teams are going to automatically double him because he's going to have to prove it first that he deserves that double.
Right.
You know, so he'll have some opportunities. Go, oh, it is the Odell of old. You know, so he'll have those ops. And as you said, the running game is so good that those safeties have to play closer to the line of scrimmage to help support the run, stop Chubb, stop Hunt. So that obviously plays to the passing game as well. But another thing I learned, that I think Mayfield and Cleveland learned last year. You know, we can move the football. It doesn't have to be about Odell 24/7. So right. It hurts them a little bit because they'll throw to the other receivers as well because they know, hey, a balanced offense is a good offense.
And actually, that might have benefited the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield's progression. Without Odell, in terms of staring him down on each and every play, right, he had to actually go through the passing tree. He had to go through his reads and progressions, utilize the tight end like he did towards the end of the year, right? Hooper had some big plays in terms of in the playoff game. He utilized Njoku at the end of the year as well, even though he was a blocking tight end. So I think that benefited Mayfield as well. So we'll see. We'll see what transpires in 2021. We're both high on this team. Definite playoff caliber team this coming season. I want to keep it in the AFC, George. And the former standout Hall of Famer Ed Reed came out and was very critical in terms of Lamar Jackson, that Lamar can't do it on his own, right? That it's going to have to be the Baltimore Ravens collectively to lead this team to the promised land, that title. I sort of disagree with that statement. Now, on FanDuel, they're one of the teams to challenge Kansas City this year in terms of a 14-1 shot to win it all this coming season. But, you know, quarterbacks get paid the money. Quarterbacks are the leaders of the team because they take the heat, right? I mean, we've said it before with other quarterbacks. If you can't lead your team to a playoff win or lead your team to a championship, all of that criticism falls on their shoulders, right? And I think it deserves to be taken on Lamar Jackson. I disagree with Ed Reed in terms of that assessment.
Well, the quarterback always gets too much blame for when they lose and too much credit for when they win, right? That's almost always. It's the nature of the position. It's why they get paid. It's part of it is why they get paid the big bucks. Yes, I understand Lamar Jackson's not getting paid the big bucks yet, but that'll come. And he's a big part of that success because of how the team moves the football. They're not a throwing team. They're just not yet. It's very, very slow progress there in the passing game. You know, and I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to change that all that much there. So it is on, you know, Lamar Jackson's shoulders. He has to be that dual threat. I mean, he's had to really respect his running ability for them to run the football. If he ever develops into a true passing quarterback, my God, the damage they can do here. But they're not there yet.
But do you feel he deserves the criticism? Because I think he does, meaning like unless Lamar steps up and progresses, especially in the passing game, if they don't go to the Super Bowl, it's going to fall on they're never living up to expectations. And because of his lack of development, right? We understood coming out of Louisville, he was a raw prospect. And look at this offense now. Led the NFL in terms of rushing attack, 191 yards per game. A lot of that is due to his ability to improvise and break contain. But at the end of the day, if you want to win that game on the road in Buffalo against Josh Allen, you need to step up. I understand he got hurt with the concussion, but he wasn't performing in the beginning of that matchup anyway. He wasn't really lighting the world on fire in terms of his ability to stretch that Buffalo defense. So in order for them to challenge Patrick Mahomes, in order for them to challenge a team like Cleveland, he's going to need to develop in the pocket. And unless he can do that, he deserves all the criticism, whether this team makes a title run or not.
You see, it's just on one player.
I'm saying that the great quarterbacks, George, right, we gauge them on their ability to lead their team to a title. Whether it be right or wrong, Brady gets judged that way, Mahomes will get judged that way. All the great quarterbacks get judged on their ability to lead their team to a title. And we understand it's a team effort, but at the end of the day, they take the heat because they are the leaders of their respective clubs, right? I mean, that's what the quarterback gets paid all that money for.
Doesn't mean it's always their fault. All right, there are other things to blame here. He doesn't have the weapons around him. He never has. They don't draft him. I mean, there's a reason why Mahomes does as well. Kelce, best tight end. Tyreek Hill, one of the best wide receivers. All right? We can't say that about Baltimore. You got Mark Andrews, a decent tight end who can't catch the ball a lot of times. They do not have anywhere near a top wide receiver. Running backs are, they're really a, maybe a tick above average here, but there's no great running back here. This is Lamar Jackson left, Lamar Jackson right, Lamar Jackson up the middle. Without his athletic ability, this team wouldn't be very good. It's the fact that he can run the ball all over the place that makes them so dangerous because of him. He's the tail. He's what makes this team go by far. You know, Tom Brady, he's sort of equivalent to Brady who a lot, or maybe not, I should say a lot, but half the time in his career when he was at New England didn't have weapons either, and he made the best. He made players better. I'll give you that Lamar Jackson, for the most part, does not make players better. Not yet. You know, he just does. He's not that kind of quarterback. You know, but I don't think, I'm not going to blame him. I think part of this is on the GM. You know, where are the players? We've been crying for Baltimore to get a wide receiver now for a couple of years. Marquise Brown, average. Watkins, come on, are you kidding me? We'll see what Bateman can do, but he wasn't one of the top guys coming out. You know, and then everybody else is everybody else. So I'm not going to fully blame Lamar Jackson. I rarely want to blame a quarterback. You know, there'll be games where it's his fault. But as far as overall, I mean, it's up to the organization to put talent around him, and I think they have failed to do that.
Well, when you look at the top teams in terms of the seedings for potential playoff rankings, right, just in the AFC, Kansas City at plus 200 on FanDuel, Buffalo plus 470, Baltimore at plus 550, Cleveland at plus 800, the L.A. Chargers at plus 1,400 to 1, right, 14 to 1, and then the Dolphins at 14 to 1. Outside of Tua, is Lamar Jackson the better quarterback down the board? Mahomes, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Justin Herbert? Would you say, in your opinion, complete quarterback? I would say Herbert has taken a huge step in his development from last year in the passing game. If you have to rely on Lamar Jackson breaking a 50-yard run against the Tennessee Titans in the playoff game to win a Super Bowl, just not going to happen each and every week. It might happen during the regular season, but when you get to the playoffs, he cannot do that. He needs to lead this team with his arm. And as bad as the weapons are, in your opinion, Bateman is an upgrade, right? They have Boykins there. They had Willie Snead. I mean, come on, Willie Snead?
Really?
I don't know.
No.
We'll see. We'll talk about Baltimore when we come back. We'll also talk about player props at the wide receiver position, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, talking about the Cleveland Browns, also talking about the Baltimore Ravens. We left off talking about Lamar Jackson, George, whether or not he can lead this team to the Super Bowl. There's an interesting prop in terms of the correct Super Bowl teams on FanDuel, and it's pretty interesting when you think about Lamar Jackson and the crew, right? There are 14 to 1 shot to actually win number one seed in terms of the AFC. If you pick the Baltimore Ravens against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, you get 26 to 1. Would you buy into that in terms of right here, right now, with Lamar Jackson and the weapons that they have around them?
No, I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. You and I were talking during the break. No, I like Lamar Jackson. I don't blame him for things, but I think he gets shut down in the playoffs. You know, I think once again, teams will sell out to stop his running ability. And also, hey, you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with your arm, not your legs. We're going to, you know, we'll sell it to stop that. Beat us with your arm. And I don't think he can do that at this point in his career. And I don't think the Ravens have the talent around him to be able to do that at this point. So, no, I won't be picking the Ravens as far as any Super Bowl partnerships.
I need to see it before I can believe it. You don't go from rushing for 191 yards per game to all of a sudden getting that number down to like 120 and then taking the world by storm him in terms of the vertical passing game. It's just very difficult to transition the offense around him. Now, I like Tylan Wallace, the third-round pick that they got out of Oklahoma State. The kid's a burner. The kid plays a lot bigger than his size, 6 foot, around 195, catches the football at its highest point. Keep an eye out for him in terms of his production this year, because I think he can put up solid numbers alongside of Marquise Brown. So we'll see how this offense develops this coming season. Let's go to our blind test, right? We've been talking about the quarterbacks earlier in the week. We talked and broke down the running backs. We give two sets of players, right? Player A and player B. Based off stats alone, I throw out a couple of nuggets and George puts on the blindfold, picks a player, and then we look at that player in terms of their 2021 prop. You ready, George? Wide receivers. Not the elite ones either. We're going to take a step below, so keep that in mind. Player A, 1,400 receiving yards in 2020, seven 100-yard games. 175 of those came against the Tennessee Titans. That is player A, right? Player B, seven 100-yard games as well. In terms of yards, he's right there. In terms of 1,380. 127 of those came against the Buffalo Bills. Are you taking player A or are you taking player B? Now, these two might be elite wide receivers, but let's see where you're going here. Player A or player B?
All right, so he said player A, 1,400 yards, 175 came against Tennessee. They both had seven 100-yard games. One thing we remember about Tennessee last year is that they could not pressure the quarterback. So I don't know if I'm going to give him a lot of credit for that 175 against Tennessee. I probably do like the 127 against Buffalo better. Once again, I'm nitpicking here. I am just
nitpicking. You are. You're nitpicking.
Yeah, but I'm looking for something. That's what I got to do here. So I'll take I'll take player B here. But once again, it's a coin toss.
No, it's not a coin toss when I tell you the two players, right? Player B is DeAndre Hopkins, okay? Player A is Justin Jefferson out of LSU that came and took the lead by storm with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. I think he's definitely due for a breakout year, but on paper, you feel good about DeAndre Hopkins in 2021.
Well, it means DeAndre's a great great wide receiver, right? I mean, he's a fantastic player. I know he made some noise earlier this offseason that he wasn't going to play because of the vaccinations, but that he took that down pretty quickly here. But he's one of the best wide receivers in football, and maybe he's the best. Do I think he gets a little bit of a downgrade because he doesn't play with a great quarterback anymore? Sure, a little bit, not much, but I'll take DeAndre Hopkins any day of the week. That being said, Justin Jefferson, he was one of those rare, you know, I have a tendency to say almost all the time that it's so hard for a rookie wide receiver to come in, learn the route tree, you know, the hot read, learn all the chemistry with the quarterback, all this stuff you have to go. That's why it's so hard for rookie or wide receivers to perform well right away. It's easier today than it used to be, but it's still hard. He came in and set the world on fire last year. He saved that offense, right? They lost Diggs. He replaced Diggs, you know, so he was fantastic last year. His future is incredibly bright.
I agree, and I think even now in that offense, you add a burner and Smith Marset from Iowa that'll be implemented into that offense. He was a fifth-round selection. You have Thielen, you have Jefferson, you have Smith Marset. This can be a lethal offense with Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook, but looking at DeAndre Hopkins' total this year, 1349.5 on FanDuel, minus 112 either way. I sort of think he blows through that number with Kyler Murray. You have Christian Kirk, you have Rondell Moore there, you have A.J. Green. I mean, let's be honest. A.J. Green, if you could get half the effort that he had 5 years ago out of Cincinnati, I think that's a lot. Asking A.J. Green to step up and put up 900, 1,000 yards, I think is asking way too much in terms of his play right here in 2021.
Yeah, you and I in agreement here. No argument. I think you're correct. A.J., I mean, if you want to talk about Green, I don't know. Maybe he got bored at the end of Cincinnati. Maybe he was hurt a lot. Maybe this will revive him somewhat. He's not the number one, but he really wasn't the number one in Cincinnati either. They had other weapons there. I don't know. Maybe. Another thing, you and I both don't love, and I think it's being nice, the Arizona defense. So they got to throw the ball more, put up some points here. I think Arizona's going to be a nice offensive team here. But A.J. Green is not somebody who I expect to have any big years. A nice compliment? Absolutely. But if you're looking for the big guy here, it's going to be Hopkins.
Right. Now, you have to understand with the blind test, I can't give you the obvious stats like touchdowns, because then you're going to understand or have a key on in terms of who might one player be, right? I'm not also giving you their best performances against their conference opponents, because I don't want to give that away in terms of the blind test, right? So let's go to the next set. We have one player A, 1,114 yards in 2020, four 100-yard games. One of those games was against the Cleveland Browns. He broke out for a 134-yard performance, okay? Player B, right there, 1,118 yards in 2020, three 100-yard games. One of those was against the Baltimore Ravens. Which player, based off of last year, you taking in 2021, player A or B?
All right, so once again, it's very close here. as far as the receivers are concerned, I'm probably going with player A. Once again, the numbers tell me that. 134 versus Cleveland, not that that's a great thing. The other guy had 118 versus Baltimore. The yardage is right there. They're even there. So it's the extra 100-yard game going here. But once again, nitpicking here, they're probably both very similar as far as talent.
You're a homer because you picked Amari Cooper over Terry McLaurin, okay? And I don't know if I would buy into Cooper over 1,200.5 receiving yards at -112 on FanDuel. If you had to do it all over again, I would think, in my opinion, I would take McLaurin over Cooper in 2021.
Oh, so much to delve into here. If you're going to take McLaurin, you got to worry. So remember, he first season with Fitzpatrick. You know, I assume he's going to be very close with Fitz. You know, you assume that. He's the number one guy there, a guy we probably don't talk enough about. If McLaurin played with a top quarterback, I shiver to think what his numbers might be. 1,300, 1,400, 1,500, none of this would shock me. I think he is that good a player here, but he hasn't had that yet. But he still produces with a, you know, an average quarterback, and also not much around him. You know, teams are really concentrating on him. So I like McLaurin a lot. Cooper is interesting this year because the Cowboys can get out of that contract without a massive cap hit at the end of this season. And I think they will. Nothing against Cooper, but you got CeeDee Lamb, and you got to re-sign Michael Gallup at the end of this year. So
yeah, and
how much money you?
I want to ask you a question. You're a big Dallas Cowboy fan. Do you feel Cooper is consistent? I feel there are stretches where he goes quarters without a catch, and then all of a sudden he catches one. They just, teams seem to shut him down at extended periods of time, and it's always Cortland Sutton. It's always CeeDee Lamb stepping up. I haven't seen that from Amari Cooper, especially last year, and I understand Dak was hurt, but I didn't see that with the other quarterbacks. The way some of those wide receivers played at the end of the year, it seemed like he was checked out. And both of these players, George, have the same total on FanDuel for receiving yards, 1,200.5. I like the younger player in McLaurin. That's why. And I understand the Fitzpatrick type of situation, but Cooper to me seems checked out at times.
I don't know if I would use the word checked out, but I don't think you're that far off either. You know, I think there are times he disappears for whatever reason. I think injuries, when he gets hurt, they seem to, I mean, some players can play through injury. It's not a big deal. Other players can't. He seems to be one of the guys who can't or doesn't want to, or just any kind of thing that bothers him, just slows him down to where he's useless that day or that quarter for whatever reason. There is something to that. So I don't think you're wrong there. I think there is something to that. I think this is why Cowboy fans have a problem with him, because he is inconsistent. He'll have monster games. You know, 180 yards in other games, it's quiet. And this season, let's face it, with Dak back, Dallas has weapons up the wazoo on offense. So it's not all about Cooper, which and theoretically could be good for him, because you're not going to see a lot of double coverage. They're going to spread that around. Gallup is good. CeeDee Lamb is good. They have a good running game. Tight ends are good. So Dak has plenty of weapons to throw the ball to. Now, him and Cooper did have one hell of a connection, right? They're close, and I think that will help him there. But if I had to bet on him getting over 1,200, he probably does, but it's not going to be a 1,500-yard season.
Will's
going to
spread
around too much. He needs to stay healthy.
I would take the under. I would take the under. We'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be tight. I'm with you. I think the upside for Terry McLaurin.
1,100 with Dalton and DiNucci last year.
I know. DiNucci. Ben DiNucci. It's amazing that he actually started a game in the NFL. I don't even want to go there in terms of that. Let's look at the last set before we go to break quick. Player A, 1,096 receiving yards, three 100-yard games. They all came within the first 5 weeks of the season, George. And player B, 1,150 yards, three 100-yard games, 166 of those against that Titans defense. They were pathetic. You taking player A or player B this season?
Well, I'll give you player B. player B, because player A seemed to flame out as the season went on there. So player B.
All right, player B is Brandon Cooks. We'll talk about that on the back end. Player A was Robbie Anderson. Unbelievable in terms of his progression with Teddy Bridgewater. When we come back, we'll be talking about these players and many more. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of our wide receiver player props, we left off with player A and player B. George took Brandon Cooks over Robbie Anderson over Brandon Cooks. And we were talking about Brandon Cooks' breakdown last year with the Houston Texans. 81 receptions, George, 1,150 yards, receiving touchdowns. You were shocked about that. But you were even more shocked that he wasn't 29 years old. Entering 2020-21, he's only 27. So does he have a little bit more in the tank with possibly Tyrod Taylor at the helm this coming season?
I'm not betting on it. I mean, it's Tyrod Taylor. If Deshaun Watson, well, I guess he is still there. But if he was going to be the starter, which I don't think he will be for at least half the season, who knows? He wants out of there anyway. I might feel differently here, but I'm not banking on Tyrod Taylor. I'm not doing it. No, thank you. I don't know if there'll be any positive Texans prop that I'll be betting on this season.
Okay, but if you had to do it all over again, you would take Robbie Anderson in 2021 over Brandon Cooks, right? In terms of their player props, you would bank on the success of Robbie Anderson over Cooks, even though he had a dynamic 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love Sam Darnold either. I don't. I have my doubts there.
I disagree, and I'm not a Jet fan. I wasn't a Jet fan. I'm a Dolphin fan. I hate the Jets. You know that. But Sam Darnold moving from the New York Jets with Joe Brady and Matt Rhule, I think, is a huge upgrade to his development. Huge. Just look at the tutelage that Brady gave Joe Burrow. Made him a number one draft pick. I mean, basically, it was Joe Brady that really brought out all the strengths of Joe Burrow at LSU. I mean, Sam Darnold made some quality plays, didn't really play all that bad. I mean, under Adam Gase, that offense was pathetic. Pathetic. Adam Gase is another coach. You could throw him, Zach Taylor, and a few others that shouldn't even have jobs. I'm amazed that they were rehired as head coaches. But, I mean, you don't attribute any of that to Adam Gase and his development as a head coach back then?
No, of course I did. Well, you didn't ask that question. You asked about Sam Darnold. Do I think he's in a better situation? Of course. That's sort of silly to say. Of course it's going to be better. It can't be much worse than it was with the Jets here. But still, I mean, he wasn't very good. I mean, there wasn't much promise there. Will he be better? I would hope so. I mean, I would really hope so. But do I think see big things coming? I don't know about that. I don't know. And I never like comparing, well, because this guy turned this guy around, he'll turn this guy around. Yeah, you don't know that. The other player is maybe better. This may be better, or it was better learning, or the system was more made for him, whatever you want to go with here. Just because one guy made Burrow look good doesn't mean he's going to make Darnold look good. I don't buy that at all. I think there's a better chance, but it doesn't automatically mean it. And we've heard this before. Oh, this guy's a quarterback guru. He's a quarterback whisperer. It didn't work out for that guy. You know, it's different players, different willingness to learn. So we'll see with Darnold. I have more hope for him with Carolina than I would have if he stayed with the Jets in that group. No doubt about that. But I still have my doubts. But I'm a big Robbie Anderson guy. I think he's a better player than we give credit for. Sometimes he's a little bit of a head case. But then again, we can say that about so many wide receivers.
See, now, I share a different sentiment about Robbie Anderson. Now, I watched him play with Matt Rhule back in Temple and P.J. Walker and Jahad Thomas. I actually think Robbie Anderson is an NFL player that over-exceeded expectations in his first few years in the league, and what you see is what you get. I think it's going to be a slow step back for Robbie Anderson. I don't know if he's going to ever be a 1,000-yard receiver again. Just don't feel that way. You know, I watched his game. He's a nice receiver. He's not an elite receiver. I know he has good size, but at the end of the day, expecting him to be up there and put up dynamic numbers with some of the top wide receivers in the NFL, I just don't see it. And when you look at Brandon Cooks in terms of his development, he's a slot receiver. He has elite speed. He runs like a 4.4 40. So that ability, especially in the slot, with the right type of quarterback. I don't know if he could put up the same numbers, obviously, with Tyrod Taylor as Deshaun Watson, but I think he could still be a 1,000-yard receiver in Houston this season, so we'll see how it plays out. Last set before we go to some Week 1 lines. Player A, George, 1,276 receiving yards last year. 113 came against that Carolina Panthers defense. Player B, 1,303 receiving yards last year. 110 of those came against your Dallas Cowboys. Are you taking player A or are you taking player B?
Oh, come on. You and I could have gotten 110 yards against Dallas last year.
You think?
Really saying. I think I could have gotten open once. All right. That defense was terrible. I mean, just hurts my soul still thinking about the Cowboys defense last year, how bad that defense was. Hurts my soul even more when they think it's going to be better this year because they got rid of the coach, not the players. We'll see. We'll see. I've thought those numbers, I don't care about the 110 against Dallas. So give me player A and the 113 against Carolina. Not that I think they had a great defense either, but with the other numbers being similar, I'm just going with what you gave me here. Give me player A.
All right, player A is Tyreek Hill. Okay, player B is not bad himself, DK Metcalf. Okay, so if you had to do it all over again, you're banking on Tyreek Hill in terms of 2021, in terms of that offense, right? You have two solid quarterbacks, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, two of the top in the game. Do you feel more confident with Kansas City and Hill duplicating that type of production over Metcalf? Because Metcalf did have more receiving yards last year.
Well, it's you can't go wrong here. It's really, what do you want? Do you want maybe the fastest guy in the NFL? Catch the ball, he's gone. You know, one if he's even, he's leaving, that sort of thing. Or do you want maybe the tough guy, a guy no one wants to take down. A guy's built like a brick wall here, who are also extremely fast for his size. I don't think he can go wrong here. I would probably, for my offense, I think I'd probably rather have DK Metcalf. I kind of like the toughest guy, but I have no problems with Hill either, but maybe I'm being a little biased because of some of the things that has happened in his past.
Yeah, well, the extra game, they have Hill right there at 13.50.5 at -112 on FanDuel. And DK Metcalf is right there as well, 13.25.5, which is sort of interesting, right? So they bumped up Hill basically almost 70 yards, right, in terms of the extra game. And they only gave DK Metcalf only about 22 yards with the extra game on FanDuel. I would take Metcalf. I think he's still going to be a dynamic home run hitter. I like Seattle this year, even though they haven't done a lot in terms of the free agent moves and signings. Didn't do a whole lot in terms of the draft. They get Eskridge from Western Michigan. He's going to be a benefit. But DK Metcalf is one of the most elite physical wide receivers in the league. And Tyreek Hill, even though speed kills, right? I still feel they're going to preserve him this year. They're going to need him to be 100% heading into the playoffs. I still believe that Kansas City is one injury away, outside of Mahomes, obviously. You take the quarterback out, we all know half these teams will be sub-500. But outside of Patrick Mahomes, this team is one injury away from just going to possibly a divisional playoff game and not the Super Bowl. So I would take Metcalf over Hill because of that. Hill is more of a pocket rocket. He's more of that 5'2 type of player. And if you utilize him too much, he could be injured in 2021.
I kind of like where you're going with that. And I wonder if all the teams are going to be doing similar things with certain star players. Now they won't do a 17-game season. It may sound it's only one extra game, but I do wonder if teams are going to manage their players differently, especially in this age of analytics. We see this in baseball a lot. I know it's a different kind of game you play every day in baseball, but players get days off all the time. Now the management may come more in practice than games itself. You know, but maybe they play normally 65 plays a game. Maybe now they only can play 50 plays a game, that sort of thing, to manage their time. I do wonder if we're going to see this as time moves on here, if teams feel like, or their analytics department tells them, you know what, you get 50 plays from them at 95% is better than 65 plays at 80%, that sort of thing. So I do wonder if that can come into play here as we move on in pro football.
It will be interesting as well because Mecole Hardman is another player that was drafted to take some of the pressure off of Tyreek Hill, and he showed glimpses, right? But that consistency from Hardman from week to week just doesn't seem to be there. So I wonder if he has added production this year. I wonder if he steps up. That's a concern for Kansas City. Would you agree that Kansas City is one injury away? I mean, if it happens to Kelce, I mean, that offense changes completely, right? So, I mean, can they afford the hit at the wide receiver position? If Hill does miss an extended period of time, are they going to be status quo, in your opinion, in 2021? Because I don't think they'll.
No, I get where you're going with here, and I agree with you. As you said, we're not talking quarterback here. That's most teams. Take the quarterback away, they're done. You know, that's just the way it is. Very few teams have a legitimate, true backup quarterback who can play anywhere near as well as the starter here. I would put, as you said, Kelce would be my number one worry. If he were to go down, I think he changes the offense more than anybody else there. Hill would be second there. So, yes, I do think if either one went down for a long period of time, this team would be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see if they're the front runners right now on FanDuel to win it all this year at 5-1. We'll see how it plays out for Patrick Mahomes and the crew this coming season. Let's turn our attention to the Week 1 lines, right? We talked about a couple over yesterday. We talked about that matchup in Tennessee between Arizona and the Titans. That total was set at 51.5. Let's look at this game. The L.A. Rams, okay, are a 7-point favorite over the Chicago Bears and Andy Dalton at home. -10, 110 either way. You taking the Rams early on or the Bears? I can't back Chicago and Matt Nagy on the road. I just can't do it. I would take the Rams. I think they win this ball game easy. If Dalton starts, they're going to abuse him early and often. The L.A. Rams cannot afford to start slow this coming season.
No, lots to prove there, right? Lots to prove. You made the big trade with for Stafford. Lots to prove. So, listen, I agree with you. There's no way I'm betting on Chicago. I think they're a bad team. I just think they're a bad team. I think they're, now that Rodgers is back, I think this is Green Bay, Minnesota in that division. I think Chicago's an afterthought here as far as that. I think they're also going to make a huge mistake. If they're starting Dalton over Fields, if Fields is ready, I think it's another huge mistake here. There's no way I would do that. Fields plays as soon as he is ready. I saw Dalton with the Cowboys last year. No, that's not going to work for you at all. My 7's a lot to give, but I'm not laying 290 either. As far as that would be a parlay if I want to go that direction. I'm good with giving a 7. I think the Rams do dominate this game and win pretty easily.
Do you think that they have to start fast? Do you think that they have to get Stafford involved early on? Or do they just start going with the running game the way they were towards the end of last year with Cam Akers? Now Cam Akers out with the Achilles injury. Darrell Henderson takes over. Do you feel like McVay is going to try and build Stafford's confidence? Not saying that he needs confidence, but he is the new piece to the puzzle, right? Jared Goff couldn't take you over the hump last year. He's supposed to take this team to the promised land. Do you feel like they open it up early and often to get him, you know, involved in a rhythm? Or do they go back to where they were at the end of the year when they lost to Green Bay in terms of the running game?
Well, I mean, you don't have the running game anymore. Akers is gone. Henderson, you know, he's pretty much an average back here. We'll see what they can do there. I think that there will be opportunities for the running game to do well because teams are going to be loading up to stop the pass. They're going to assume that's where the offense is coming from. Stafford, Woods, Kupp, DeSean Jackson, Van Jefferson, you know, Higbee. Tutu Atwell, whatever you believe he can do. So that's where the teams are going to load up to stop there. So I'm not really seeing massive offensive points coming from the Rams. I don't think they're that kind of offense. They're more one-dimensional to me, and they're hoping Henderson can be that guy. I think they just want Henderson to be the guy, honestly, that keeps defenses honest. Just keep them honest. You don't need to be great, but we just need them to respect the run.
Well, Darrell Henderson, I will say this. A lot of people haven't seen him in terms of Memphis. He was the predecessor to running back Philip Gainwell. So keep an eye out. I think Henderson can be 1,000-yard rusher in 2021. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz talking NFL right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
wrapping up today's show. We talked about player props, talking about week one matchups, just finished talking about the Chicago Bears LA Rams matchup, week number one. Bears are a 7-point dog at plus 235 on the money line on FanDuel. Here's a game I love, George. This is last game on the board for week one. It's the Las Vegas Raiders as a 5-point home dog to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, okay? Total set on FanDuel at 51 minus 110 either way. I love this game. I'm going to shock you. I'm taking Carr. I'm taking Gruden. I'm taking Josh Jacobs as the home dog. I don't even want the points. Give me the plus 184 on the money line outright over John Harbaugh and the crew.
All right. Joe's smoking the good stuff today. That's nice.
Why? You don't see? Oh, come on, George. Come on.
I'm not betting on the Raiders. Are you kidding me? We don't know about the Raiders. That defense was horrendous last year. They kept giving away people on the offensive line this season. No, I'm not betting on the Raiders. I'm not saying betting on Baltimore. I'm not saying that at all. But there's no way, and there's certainly no way I'd be taking the plus 184. Take the plus 5. At least that. Give yourself some points here. No. If anything, I would go Baltimore. But I'm not betting this game. Not right now, anyway. I don't see a reason to bet this. But I'd probably certainly lean towards Baltimore win the game. But I'm not paying minus 220 to do that. This is a no bet for me, but I don't trust the Raiders. Nowhere near enough to bet them.
I trust them. I trust that line to me looks ripe, as they say. It's ripe. And now Raiders. It's the Monday night game. It's the Monday night game, an 8:20 kick, Eastern time. Lamar Jackson, I know he's elite. I loved him coming out of college. But give me the Raiders. That place is going to be jumping. Week one. Are you kidding me? Primetime performance, primetime audience there. That place is going to be rocking in Las Vegas. You might have 85,000 fans and plus parties under and over 51. Raiders win a thriller, 45-40 in that matchup. Unbelievable. Well, we're just getting started. We're going to be here all next week breaking down the preseason. For George Kurtz, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.